All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak from the Public Service Commission. It is Thursday, May 21st. We're gathered on the 12th floor of the Commission, 12th floor of the Capitol, to talk about case number PU-08-932. This is a wind power project siting application. And this is in Commissioner Kalk's portfolio. I don't have any opening comments. I'll see if Commissioner Crispin has any.
Nor do I.
Okay, so we'll turn it over to you, Brian, to run the show.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. The I guess we had the hearings. We've had a one work session on this at least. The Jerry staffed out a draft order. And I had a couple just small questions in the draft, but I certainly wanted to get my colleagues' input on my two questions. I don't like just change. Sometimes I'll just change something in an order and just put it forward, but when it's something very substantive, I do want to talk to you. So that was really the point of the work session request today was I don't really have a lot of things. It's just two questions. And the first one is what the easier question I would ask is that right before conclusions of law number 17, there's a measure to minimize impact. In order to accommodate a non-participating landowner, EDF removed alternate locations 14A and 45A from the projects. And I know we agreed on that, but my only question on that was, do we need to, were those previously approved in the first wind order? And if they were, I'd like to flush out just, the backdrop here is the footprint law. And so now we have a case where we say they agreed to pull these out. But then when the footprint law comes into play, they could put wind turbines anywhere. And so it's kind of that discussion about, are we ready to start quantifying things a little bit more, or do we just say, hey, take that out and see where it goes, and they'd have to file with us? And that leads to the next point is that on page 3, number 5, the proposed project site is the same as the site designated in the Commission's June 11th order. I was pretty sure that in the hearing and in our work session that my call.
Which number is that now?
This
page 3.
Page 3, number.
Five. Mine says the Vestas V100 2.0.
You have the version from about a week ago.
This is the one from Jerry's.
He sent out a new one yesterday.
Yeah, that was.
But I can see it from looking at it.
Really? Oh my gosh, I thought I printed this right out from your email, Jerry. Are they marked versions?
We got rid of all these headings and stuff and then changed them. And
I said page 3, number 5, the proposed project site.
Order so okay. That we know which one is the latest. Oh, dang. All right. Well, I haven't looked at this one at all. I thought this was the latest one I was reading.
It's similar. You might check your highlights against that one and see if they changed.
So the question, I guess, the first time we talked about this, I thought I heard my colleagues agree that we wanted to close down the project layout. And I know we've approved it, and I really have no problems with the wind farm the way it is, just kind of buttoning things up a little bit. But specifically that northwest corner where we asked, they've got 1A and 2A over there. There's a whole bunch there that I don't think needs to be in the project area. And then I believe in section 23, that southeast corridor was one that I think, Randy, you brought up as one that you might not think needed to be in there.
Actually, just for correction, I think that the southeast corner needs to be in there for the free fall from those two towers, but the north half and the southwest corridor, I can't see any reason for
it. So that was really the only two questions that I had was that I think that clarify a little bit of language around 41A and 45B, and then if there were, I'm almost 100% sure that was what we three of us talked about to close that up, and then so I was surprised why we didn't put that in the order.
Commissioner, I think we haven't had a work session on this. I know there was some discussion about it at the hearing, so I think that might have been what you're thinking of about the section.
All right.
We have had this in some other
cases.
Other cases.
We did have a work session.
Yeah. We've even got a transcript of it on the docket.
Was I there?
We did talk a lot about it.
We talked about these things, and I listened to it, and you were writing down the description, the legal descriptions of these properties.
Right. No, and then it was the, because it was, there's a lot of things that were going on. I think we did that match. We scheduled a work session because there was a lot going on in the commission. And, you know, there's a couple hearings that I wasn't able to attend to. There were some others that didn't. So this is the first chance that we had where all three of us got together to talk about the hearing. And so we just talked in general terms.
I've got you. I understand. I wasn't aware that work session had happened. So okay. I haven't had a chance to listen to it or consider okay. it, I guess. So.
Well, and that's what the point of this today was, is that just to get everybody together here, and those are the really only two things that I had a question of that I didn't want to put the order forward until we clarified that, because I was pretty sure that's what we talked about in the work session. So that's where I'd tee it up for your thoughts to my colleagues. Other than that, I'm fine with everything the way the order is.
I will say that, you know, in our previous work session, we had talked about those two properties and then that little 40 way down on the bottom on the south end. And then if you recall, Commissioner Kalk, you had brought up that one, and I pointed out that in the hearing I asked about that, and they felt that that was within the fall down distance from number 48A. And so that we probably needed to leave that one alone. But I do feel real strongly that these two properties that you just talked about in Section 23 and Section 24 over in the next township are just vast amounts of property beyond what they need to be in here, and that those should be removed.
So at the hearing, I went back and listened to the recording to see what we talked about. And Randy, I gave you an email.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind if I give it to the...
Nope, that's fine. Do you have a third copy? It's been a few days.
Sure. So, in the recording then, it first came up with Commissioner Kalk on cross of Chris, their witness Chris, and asked about the northwest corner and the project there. And Chris' response was that there's a landowner up there that likely wanted that in the project because then he gets more compensation. So if we cut it out, he doesn't get as much money, was my understanding.
See, that's the question that I would differ with you, that that's where I need the attorney, that to me, whether it appears in our project's site and what they get paid for, apples and oranges, if they have a lease they're willing to pay somebody for, that's their business, the company's, but it doesn't have to match what our approved project area is.
No, it doesn't, but my point being that if you cut it out, the landowner's not going to be as happy with it cut out as he is with it in.
That's my concern, is not what he gets paid. I mean, I get it, your point, but the company chooses to pay that individual. That's a decision they make separate to this.
And you asked that question, or somebody did too, and then the point will be, where do you cut off payments? And you got Joe Blow over here that he'd like to get paid too. So they kind of use the project boundary, and they don't get any Windright compensation for their money unless they have the easement.
So he's not a participating landowner. He doesn't have towers.
And so then...
Well, but he doesn't have towers in that portion of the land anyway. You'd think he would get paid, and this is not our jurisdiction, what they get paid and don't get paid.
I don't know what they get paid, so I don't know that...
I guess I'll take all that out of the discussion. I think, for me personally, that as we look at the part of a project area, if there's something that is not needed for the wind farm, we should look seriously at taking it out of the project area. And that's why I thought it was important enough to be a work session, because I didn't want to throw that out there in an order and then have the discussion when we're voting on it, because it's a big thing.
I will say I agree with that, and I'm just going to add something here. I can't go in now at this point, you know, because there'd just be too many unresolved questions. But I see all kinds of 80s certainly lots of 40s and multiple 80s in here that don't have roads or access lines or anything, but I never asked about those and have no idea whether there's something, some reason for them being in. But certainly these two pieces that we're talking about, there's no real connection to the project. And on future wind farms, I'm going to be asking about spots all over the place like this, because frankly, with the new clarification of legislative intent on the footprint law, if these companies are going to come out and just site in vast amounts of property, you know, they can build coal plants out there, they can build solar farms.
They can't go that far. Like type.
It has to be the same type.
So they could do wind
energy
farms.
Generation, though.
No, it was more specific.
I think they've narrowed it down, at least my interpretation. You're right, it could be open for interpretation, but my interpretation was they certainly could pop in more wind farms, but they couldn't put a gas peaker or something like that in there.
Okay, I'll
but it's subject for debate, I'm sure.
Yeah. Bottom line is, I don't think that we ought to be citing any of these things significantly larger than what is necessary.
Well, to get to the fine point,
the question is what is necessary, and then our judgment of what is necessary versus the company's judgment. What was necessary for them to get support for the project? Maybe it was getting that landowner on in part of the project. I hadn't thought of that particular scenario before, and I've been in agreement with shortening and tightening the boundaries in the past. But I don't know that it's our role to tell a landowner he can't be part of it.
I'm thinking in the past that the property boundaries have judged the project area have made the project area boundaries. So if this guy's in, it covers his property, and then that outside of his property is outside of the project if it's on the edge of the project. And I get it. I don't know for sure that that's what they've done here, but that's what I think is happening.
What would be the flip side if we... And Mitch, I'm curious what your thoughts on the legal are, but let's say we took it out. What would be the basis of taking it out? That's the other side of the coin. There has to be something in the record that says, we don't feel it. It'd be orderly development, probably be the reason. But that'd be the question. If we don't do it, what would be the basis of not doing it?
Well, I think you could use as the basis for taking out the fact that there's no facilities in that spot in general. It doesn't need to be cited, but...
But then to Randy's point, where do you draw the line in section? I mean, there's other areas where... I mean, it's a tough one. Those jump out, but what's your legal interpretation of all this questioning? Given the 5 minutes you've had to spin up in this question.
Well, I feel like I'm playing a little bit of catch-up here, but to begin with, you know, usually in the past, at least the cases that I'm involved with, when we have these kind of outlying properties with no turbines on them, I can think of the Bison Wind projects, for example. Mm-hmm. We would talk about those issues and why they were included with the company at the hearing. And in a lot of those cases, we end up having them submit a revised map, taking out what they don't need.
Right.
Obviously, in this case, we don't have that.
Have we asked the company if they would be willing to submit a revised map, taking those out if they're against it?
Well, wouldn't you order it rather than ask it? I mean...
Well, maybe there's no effect to that.
Record
ask them what
closed.
They don't need.
Well, I think we're not going to be able to, we could supplement the record here at this point. I suspect that these issues aren't maybe something we need supplementation on the record on. We could even ask the company's counsel or the representatives if they have some different recollection of the testimony at the hearing or something of why these properties need to be in there or not, and go find that stuff in the record. Also, I mean, if there's a reason they relate to the project and need to be kept in there, that's one thing. If there's a reason they don't need to be in there in the project, that's another thing, and we can find, I think we have that stuff in the record. You got to remember, we actually have two records on this case, mm-hmm. and I recall having some discussions about this in the previous, 4 years ago, hearings we had on this case, particularly at least that northwest area. So I think we can look at that. I'll be honest with you, I haven't gone back and looked at this in relation to the footprint law. I'd have to study that new footprint law some more. It's not even technically in effect yet at this point in time. So, you know, the old footprint law is what would apply, and we still have, you know, their certification that if they want to move them, which is basically why we're here, they want to update the turbines, right, and change location. So I don't see that having an impact on this case in this scenario, frankly.
Well, is there another alternative where we could button it up in the order that, understand the footprint law is coming into play, but we button up this order that if they do want to put turbines in those areas, they got to come back to us?
They've already agreed to that.
So maybe that answers our question right there.
That's what our previous order says anyway.
I just don't want to put something forward that gets a 1-2 vote or a 2-1 vote without knowing ahead of time.
Well, I like Mitch, you just brought up something that I've been thinking about and wondering about, because the whole footprint law changes and the impact it has on turbine locations, it's the biggest deal for that footprint. And is our policy moving forward going to be that we site a whole area and they can put the wind towers wherever they want inside that site? Or do we ask them to sign the certification document and come forward and when they move them, they have to let us know? I hope that we choose the latter, and I think we do have, despite the legislature's clarification, I think in this case, I think we still do have a case for saying, you know, orderly development requires us to let people know. It's a big difference between what you propose and what you comes back a couple years changed. So I would welcome us to continue doing it that way and have the legislature cut us back.
Yeah, well, in
moving forward,
speaking regarding this case specifically, mm-hmm, in this case, they have agreed to notify of turbine location changes. They've actually done this, that, and this procedure.
Yep.
Even under any of the versions of the footprint law, I believe they're required to notify the commission writing of changes to it. So, mm-hmm, you know, whatever those may be in any project, particularly or this one, you know, there could be issues raised, dealt with differently depending on the project and the order provisions. I really think with respect to this project and our proposed orders with the record we have, that the footprint changes aren't going to have an impact on the analysis of this case. I mean, at least my legal opinion is if they were to move these turbines or even change type of turbines, they have to come back to the commission and get approval for that.
Because they've signed the certificate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Mitch, you've...
And I could take a closer look at that, too, you know, and I guess if my opinion changes on it, I let the mm-hmm, portfolio holder know and say, look, I was all wet at the work session the other day. I need to retract.
And also, this project, they aren't even expecting their federal permitting to be done until the end of December. So we're not in a huge rush to finish this unless I'm misunderstanding something.
They would like it before the 4 years are up on the other permit, just so the banks don't have any kind of a...
Okay.
When is that?
Is that date?
June 4th.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but if, I mean, I guess I haven't had... I know where Randy was at in the beginning, and it wasn't, but what you've heard today, does that make it palatable that we could move this forward with your support, or you still have concerns on it? Because that's, I always like to flush stuff out at a work session if we're not going to get a, just to know where some people are at, and if, to be frank with you.
I would need more persuading before I would vote to approve those roughly 4 quarters of land being in there.
Commissioner Chrisman, okay, am I correct? Just so I understand, when I look at this, you're talking about obviously that misshapen one, if you will, up in Section 24. In
correct.
The west corner. Probably the, maybe the west half of that southwest quarter of 19. The one.
No, no. There's the misshapen one in 24 that you said, and then go to the east.
I was kind of envisioning something like there and here-ish.
At this point, I wasn't even so worried about cutting a quarter in two.
Okay.
although it is certainly fine with me. But when I asked about this section at the hearing, the answer was that they needed it for the fall down, whatever you call the fall down area, for setbacks for these. I don't know if it said both of them or one of these. If that's the case, then really only the southeast quarter is necessary. So what I'm talking about is the north half of 23 and the southwest quarter of 23, which then doesn't leave that hole in the middle because it's those three quarters would be out.
Another exclusion area.
I just want to make sure I'm on the right.
Oh, no, see, that's used fish and wildlife.
There was one other area that you asked about, and that was at the bottom in section 8 down there?
Yeah, but at the hearing they said that was also in that fall down zone.
Okay, good.
And this must be a landowner.
That's down here.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
And this definitely was a landowner and an easement.
So if you want,
the guy that spoke the longest.
Yep.
I can just revise the order to remove those and ask them to file a revised project area map, or order them to file a revised project area map afterwards. That way we still got our existing record and everything's based on the record. We don't ask to add anything into the record.
Can you talk through this explanation, Jerry?
Sure.
So I better understand it. So
I already talked about the first paragraph there.
So that's the misshapen one in section 24.
Yeah, in 24.
But I'm not clear about this. Does that person own section 19 as well, or the towers in that?
From what Chris said, and, you know, when he said it, he said, I think what's happening there. So, I mean, this is not an absolute for sure known, but he said that landowner in the adjacent section there would lose money if his part of his land wasn't under the easement.
So he owns that whole chunk, that half of 19 and 24. Yes. That boundary is his.
That's what I thought from listening to the testimony.
And it's based on acres or something, his payment? But he has those towers, too.
That I don't know, whatever their compensation scheme is.
Right. So you're saying our practice has been in the past, not saying that it needs to be this, that we would just, if a landowner is part of it, we just included all of their land. And that's why the boundary is so weird.
I wouldn't call it a practice. But I think in general that they just drew the project areas around property values, people or property lines, mm-hmm. people are in or not in. And
okay.
And so that would be pretty common, I think, in what we've done before.
We've made tweaks before, but in general yes. We did what you said.
Yes.
They'd submit something, unless there was reason to reject it, we just said, okay, because the project area really didn't matter so much because they couldn't move turbines around.
But, you know,
well, and we're still saying in this case they won't be moving turbines around. So it's questionable whether the project boundary matters a lot.
And that's where I think for me, back to where I'm fine voting on the way it is now because they can't move the turbines.
So without going through
it. Once I heard that part clarified with me today, that means that my question has been answered for today.
And Mitch's point also was that in the past, on the record, we've gotten something during the hearing where they said, okay, that can go out. And so we don't have that here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you want to explain the second paragraph there?
Second paragraph. Adjacent to
the
southern portion of the project. This was at in the bottom part of the project, where we had section 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. And so we had the same landowner in that little section of 8 there, that little part of section 8 that's in the project area, as is in section 9. And there was a turbine there that was closer, supposed to be within the fall down distance into section 9, was what they were trying to say. And so as a result, they wanted to leave the Section 9 little part in there for those two reasons, because it's
Section
8, landowner.
Right? Isn't that Section 8?
Section 8, yeah. It's
okay.
The same landowner as Section 9, and the turbine is close to there, so it would be close to the boundary.
Okay, so that's the fall down. Okay.
Am I missing something there, too? I thought there was some, I thought I recalled some issue with
there is
the access road being right on the section line, too, and requiring, you know, maybe being better to have some of that land within the project.
I didn't catch that on the recording, okay. But it's possible. I got an access road coming down there along the section line and then going in and older. Yeah. One thing that's a little bit different here, too, is that the exclusion area in the laws or in the rules says that 1.1 times the turbine height from the property boundary of a non-participating landowner. Mm. And so I think in this case that boundary there, if you cut it off, you still have a participating landowner, even though the project area boundary would be coming across his land. I think we meant for the project area boundary to be 1.1 times the turbine height away from the project area boundary when we wrote the rule. And somehow or other, in the final way that it got put in there, it's from the boundary of a non-participating landowner as a language.
Just because they're not within our boundary that we approve doesn't make them a non-participating landowner.
Yeah.
So I don't think that really makes so much difference.
So the way it's written in the exclusion area, I don't think the law or the exclusion rule would necessarily apply there the way it's written. But our spirit when we did that rule meant that the project area should have a 1.1 times, so the turbine height cannot fall out of the project area. Mm. Was our thought.
I see. Okay. All right.
And so that was this number 8 and 9 sections down there. And then in the next paragraph we talk about up here in 23 on redirect, they point out that those two turbines, 49 and 50, are close to the, would be close to the edge of the boundary too, if we cut it off across there. And that was Randy's point about leaving that quarter section in.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically sums it up.
Okay. Now, Randy, do you mind elaborating a little bit more about your concerns, your remaining concerns, because I'm afraid I'm missing something on my own analysis that you might have been catching here for why the language in the certification document that requires them to come here for approval before they move them doesn't sort of minimize the need to do some of these changes.
I don't think on any of this stuff we ought to be citing in significant amounts of property more than what's needed for the project. Now, I'm not suggesting that we, you know, circle around and make all kinds of loops and stuff, stay in 1.1 times the height of the turbines and make do that. But when you have, you know, pretty large, easily definable portions of land that aren't part of the project, why are we eliminating that land from some other project that might come up sometime? You know, maybe something else comes up down the line, and now because it's of part of this project area, I would assume they would certainly have some kind of ability to veto something else coming up there, and who knows what the future holds. I just think that it just seems fundamentally wrong to allow them to tie up far more property than what's necessary for their projects.
Jerry, do we know that the company wouldn't agree with what we're asking here?
No.
I think that's a question you need to ask them, because if we can get to where my colleague is happy with it, then I think it's a much easier vote than if it's not.
Yeah.
If they're willing to do it, then I think it's a done deal. If they're not, then we'll have to make a decision on what I want to do with it.
I can try and figure it out.
Possible suggestion on that. Mm-hmm. With respect to these areas on the boundary, my suggestion would be Jerry and I check the record, see if we can clarify from the older record, because I don't think either of us have looked at that about what the company's comments were about that northwest corridor. If it's not, and we're not satisfied that it needs to be within the project, we can always minimize the footprint in our order. The company would then have an opportunity, if we don't have sufficient information of why that should be included, they could always petition for reconsideration and provide that explanation of why they feel it's necessary to be included also, if that's an option, because that's available under the commission's rules also.
And I will say, if they petitioned for reconsideration and there was a good reason for these, that would seem reasonable to me. I will say, when it comes to the reason for them, and I don't recall, I remember having the discussion, I don't remember what they said about that the misshapen property on the northwest corner, but I am pretty sure I recall accurately when it comes to these three quarters up here. Well, at the time I was asking about the section, and the only reason that I recall getting for why that needed to be in there was the setback area from those towers. And as Jerry reiterated that you don't need a whole section for that.
No, and it's a good point. I'm also struggling though with why we are smarter and more accurate to make those decisions than the landowners whose land it is and are signing the leases.
You know, I think that they have easements for those areas, so they included them in the project area. I think it's that simple.
All the areas in the project area have easements for. I know they testified to that. And
yeah.
So I'd say that their easement boundaries are probably going with these boundaries on the project area.
And I suspect at some point, you know, we're here on an amendment. I have somewhat of a belief that the company said, look, we still have our border from the previous
I
one.
Thought of
here's
that
where
too.
We want to locate the turbines now, and you know, wasn't necessarily
what's changed
the issue in the company's mind.
You know, actually, I think that they thought that not changing the project area made the process easier.
Okay. I can.
I'm comfortable with it the way it is. I'm also, you know, open to exploring a different route, although I feel more comfortable as a philosophical position just trusting the landowners to know what's the best for them and their easements and their, you know, decisions on what they want to do with their land. So I feel more comfortable with that policy as, you know, moving forward versus us trying to decide when it is and isn't appropriate to cut it back.
Okay. I think you're the, I mean, it's on, you put it on the agenda for next week, correct? So I'm going to leave it on the agenda for now. If Mitch and Jerry, if you find anything else, let me know Tuesday where we're at, and then I can make a decision Wednesday morning if we decide to hold it over, withdraw it, or just vote on it.
I have.
If that's okay with you. I mean, I kind of think that's where we're at.
I have a couple more things on here besides that subject, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but they shouldn't take long.
I had one more, too. Can I, just to close that out, as we head towards next week, at least as of right now, what I'm hearing is the commission would like us to revise the project area to take out that 24 and part of 23 in the final order.
From speaking for me, if the company comes back and it's for them to revise it, is no big deal. It doesn't affect any agreements, and they're okay with it. That's easy. It sounds to me like we're good. If they come back and say no, we really want to have it. At this point, I'm still leaning towards voting on it, but I'd at least like to get that flushed out. It's always better to get all three on board if you can, but if you can't, you can't.
I don't think we'll have a strong answer on that on the record.
Right. We'll just...
You guys were going to check the record.
We can check.
Was there before?
I hear your answer, but I'll let you have a couple more days before you give me your final answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you go first, Randy?
On the order, on the very first page, just that last sentence, are there some words missing? Like after the date, it seems to me it should maybe be EDF filed and requested.
It looks like it.
Yep.
Otherwise, that sentence just didn't seem complete.
Yep. Sorry about that. It should say EDF filed a request to issue.
Okay, and then just to point out, I asked Jerry, and I appreciate on page 3 adding that the overall area encompasses about 12,000 acres. I just think it's something that's good to have in there. But then on page 4, the very number 2 on the bottom on the conclusions of law, should that be an EXCO or should it be ED&F?
You're right. You know...
And then that's on number 4 on the next page, too.
I'll check that all the way across. I copied those from the previous order. Whoops.
That's it.
There was one gentleman in the hearing who talked extensively about the road concerns and traffic and how, you know, and yeah. I haven't read through this order carefully, so.
We didn't address it.
Is that not a finding of fact that we can say, you know, is addressed by X? Because you did have some good comments, Brian, about why that wasn't, you know, in our
jurisdiction
yeah. And that it's being, but it was a huge concern of his.
You know, in the past, in these orders with the landowners, we haven't really gone into all of the things that they bring up unless it's something that we do something with.
But didn't they have to have a county permit for this, too?
Well, it's a section line road, and it's open to the public, and he thinks everybody else shouldn't be using it. And, I mean, that's...
Well,
I
don't think that's quite fair.
Well, he did. He has been.
Thinks it shouldn't be blocked for a long period. He has some concerns about big construction equipment. I don't think he thinks everybody shouldn't be using it.
But there was a witness that came back and countered saying that when we do this, we shut down power. There's a procedure. It's not shut down for very long.
And he also, if you remember, said that they generally can get the cranes down far enough to go under the lines without shutting them off. And so we had enough stuff, I thought, in the record to where it was kind of resolved at the hearing.
Could you put something in there, though, that reinforces?
I can go back in and find something that talks about it and add it in there. But I don't know.
Well, we talk about the 41 and 41A and 45A coming out and his...
That would be a good place to expand the thoughts on it. Not really thought.
I personally kind of like it when we go, not every single, you know, question about an eagle or this or that, but usually those are addressed someplace. Usually public, you know, the concerns of people are addressed, whether it's through our various studies, noise, flicker, you know, there's somewhere in there. And this one... on the roads is just not our jurisdiction. And
I can figure out something to say in there if you want to write in that.
It doesn't muck it up, Mitch, or what's your opinion of
right in that
adding something up?
the commission obviously doesn't have jurisdiction to regulate the use of that road. I mean, some of the criteria the commission has does take into consideration the impact on rural landowners and things of that nature. Saying that, I mean, we're here on the amendment. I mean, we already addressed those issues, you know, once there, before, too.
That's what I was just going to ask that question.
Oh, was that addressed in the first hearing?
I mean, we didn't necessarily point it out, but, I mean, we approved it last time, and, I mean, there's still going to be, there would have been.
So all the things that we found in 2011 order, those are still carried through unless they were amended. So, like, we've got a finding here that says no significant adverse effect will be seen on community services, housing, healthcare, schools. So addressing it in that previous order, that carries back to this amendment.
And, you know, there are procedures if you have to.
It's not as clear as you're talking
service. And so there are procedures to minimize the impact of that that are not part of this case.
Locally? They have a.
Whoever's doing it needs to notify the people that will be out of power.
But what about the traffic?
Not necessarily our requirements, but it's like when a water company shuts off your water.
Right.
They go door to door and let you know as far in advance as they can. It's just common practice.
You know, and usually what we evaluate more is what would be termed kind of permanent impacts, not necessarily those ones that are temporary during construction or something like that. I think, we can't evaluate every temporary impact that might have. The goal is, you know, what will the lasting impact be on, will it be a minimal adverse impact on this, will this project, when it's done, have a minimal adverse impact on the surrounding areas? And some of these, you know, temporary impacts are necessary for any project, but aren't necessarily things that we could use to deny a project, so to speak, absent some sort of, you know, significant impact.
Well, unless there's some. Oh, sorry, man.
And those are just realities that, you know, a road construction project or something could cause a need for a temporary power outage or something, too. And that's just something that's a reality of a construction project happening.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't
going to have to deal with it. But I will say it does point out the importance of how dependent we've become on reliable power.
Yeah.
And, you know, that people are shook up about, okay, if I'm going to have a power, you know, what if it happens when I need to open my garage door?
I mean,
his power concerns were one thing, but he also talked a lot about the access roads and them all funneling into the, you know, his main road. And that is a siting thing. I mean,
and they did move his access roads a little bit and accommodate him prior to the hearing.
Well, this kind of goes into the comment I was going to make. I mean, his concern dealt primarily with those two alternative turbines that are now removed, I think. So they were
some of it, but I just listened to this stuff like an hour ago, so it's pretty fresh.
Those were his.
He talked a lot about number, you know, some of the other numbers, 280, 84.
I talked to him on the phone a couple of times before the hearing, too.
Those are alternatives.
And got him.
Yeah, I think all of them are alternatives, the 41 and 40.
And the main thing that he cared about more than anything else in the world was this one turbine. I don't see the number.
41A.
41 and 45.
Yeah, but the one that, one of those two was his 90% of his issue. And after he got rid of that, then he got other things that he started working on. But he got his wish on that one. They removed it. And that was on the west side of his property and in such a way that it would have really bothered him. So they saw that. Removed it.
And that's the change I recommend making. I mean, they offered to remove it, and we're going to actually remove it. And our language and order is a little misleading of what the company did. They said we're willing to remove it, so I think we have to change that section in there. And then, as I understand it, we are removing it from the order, but it's just a kind of a technical thing.
And, you know, in the language I used, I didn't say offered to remove it.
Yeah.
We were messing with that word and took it out.
That's in 17. I think we should just have it be accurate because that's what it was. They said they're willing to remove it, and then we're just going to mm-hmm. take those out.
Okay. Well, and I don't know. I'll same just say one more time. The you know, in the transmission siting that we did on the AVS to NESA deal, we did list some like. There was a fair amount of discussion about burying the pipe, burying the transmission lines, and we said why we couldn't do that, you know. So I like it because it shows that we listened, we thought about it, and here's why we can't do anything, and or here's who does address this issue. And so I don't see any downside to adding that about the roads in here, if unless you can convince me legally it's a bad idea.
I don't remember if I've said it to this commissioner or not, but I used to always say you should usually never say more than you have to and stick it.
We would still not be doing news releases
I've
before hearings.
I've had the commission disagree with that advice in the past. And
I generally think the same way.
That would be my legal advice to the commission.
But if we don't, if it's not our jurisdiction, then what is harmed by saying we heard it and we can't do anything about it?
Yeah. If you don't need it in the order, all it does is create something else for them to argue about. Or, you know, if you get something wrong in a condition or an analysis that you didn't need, it can affect the credibility of the stuff you did need. You know, you never know what somebody's going to argue if they do decide to challenge it. So my approach is usually just, if you don't need to say it, don't say it.
You lawyers.
Well, but I've already got potentially a split vote coming up here. I don't want to risk going.
Oh, I would never not vote for it because of this. No, I just like it as a process.
I'm not saying it's certainly not against the law to put it.
Right.
But can't you put something that doesn't give away the legal argument? The commission received this. The commission reinforced this is so-and-so's jurisdiction.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with that? I know you're going to say the same thing, but...
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, I wouldn't be comfortable putting in unless I put a lot of research into what that road was, who regulates all of that stuff before I started putting all that in there. I mean, okay. We certainly don't control the traffic on it, but we have jurisdiction to address if there's any impacts on it, how they affect not so much temporary control.
So what could we point to in our order that if we got a phone call from a landowner concerned about the impact to road? What would be in our order that gives us the authority to follow on that kind of complaint?
We do routinely.
I know that, but I'm just saying maybe that's the answer to the commissioner's question. If we get a call on road complaints, we have the authority to investigate because of what in here?
Well, I think you would say, look, we don't have the ability to tell someone they can't travel on a public road. What
right.
we do, the company has agreed to address any, you know, and that's what our certification says, you know, any changes.
Certification, okay.
Changes of the road conditions will be the roads we put back into as good or better condition, you know.
But that's our answer. The company is certified, so we'd call them back and say, hey, listen, you certified that you're going to do this, and here's what we're hearing, so.
It depends. If it's traffic, that's a little different. If it's damage to the road, that's right. A different portion, uh-huh. You know.
Exactly. I do take calls and stuff on roads, and get the project people aware that there's some people up there having difficulties with the roads and try to just get them up there with the graders or whatever it is that they need to do to straighten out the problems. So.
Well, it goes back to my viewing these things from the eyes of a citizen who's reading it, who thinks, they didn't even talk about it. Was one of my biggest concerns, and they didn't even mention it. So I hear what you're saying about needing to be sure about who's, you know, what it is that we say, but maybe it's the temporary nature or something about that.
I've seen orders, okay? You may put something in here about that traffic concern and think it should satisfy that witness.
Mm-hmm.
He may disagree with whatever you put in there, and that
right.
There's always the potential with any, and I'm not necessarily talking about this guy necessarily, but that section itself may make him upset about something that's said in there and want to fight the whole thing for some reason, too. I mean, that's why I just kind of, you never, even though the intent is to show that you considered it, reviewed it, but it wasn't enough or whatever to deny the entire project. That's going to be in the eyes of the beholder when it's read.
Yeah. Well, I'm still trying to figure out what is a finding of fact and what isn't.
The effect,
and how we decide that.
The effect on local infrastructure is a in the criteria. It is the selection criteria or something like that, one of those secondary concerns that are in there, and stuff like the effect on emergency services and things like that. And so somebody could interpret that increases in traffic flow could fall under our jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. So, Jerry, what did somebody come up and say what they were going to do about this traffic? I know you talked about the power, but maybe somebody at the hearing talk about the traffic, how that was going to be addressed, or that it was just
I don't
temporary.
Think so.
No. Okay.
We have a thing in the certification that talks about
I think she's talking about just where the traffic flow was going to be.
Yeah, or that it was or wasn't a big deal.
I don't have the roadmap for me, but I recall some testimony. I don't recall how certain it was that the traffic would mostly be along that northern boundary, east to west, and there'd be, I think they said limited, although would be traffic, on that north to south road. I recall them saying something effective that road wasn't in the best of shape or something, so they wouldn't be, if they could get to a location from other spots, they would use those instead, but there was some talk about the ditches and how deep they were in certain areas or, things like that. Okay. I just can't remember the exact locations.
All right. We can leave it out. That was my only one. I do want to listen to the rest of the public testimony. I've gotten through a couple of the folks. I don't know how many testified, but the second guy was talking about the whooping cranes, which is, and the birds, which is.
Mr. Gross was the most of the testimony.
Yeah, most. And the second guy was talking about the whooping crane, or birds, and.
Mr. Moe.
Most of that will be taken place by the.
John Moe.
By the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, which is in here.
The shooting range guy, I think, talked for quite a while, too.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And he was had the same things to say the first time in the first hearing.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, Mr. Gross came out better this hearing than he did the first hearing.
Yeah.
To be honest.
The duck farm?
Well, he's the middle guy. He came to the first hearing, and we didn't move. He came out better this time around. So this, from his viewpoint, it should be a win. Not a win, a better.
Yeah, he's made progress on his.
Because if I recall right, he ended up saying, I'm fine with the project if those two turn right.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Okay. Are you good?
Yes, ma'am.
Anything else, Randy? All righty. We will conclude the work session on case number 08-932. Thank you.
So